powered by Riverside FM.
Conversations with Hello, my sisters is a podcast where my seven sisters and I discuss life. Tony and Lorraine summer learned parents from raised 11 children in Arizona. Dad was a mechanical engineer for Motorola. Mom was a learning incentive that my mom made. Gardener, coach, referee. I hope that you chauffeur, learned from Carol minister, and friend Angel that these goals. Mom and Dad worked diligently to the child's interests in their roles as age, mother and including father, life skills and when Dad was home, it seemed only natural to finish on this putting band-aids on my mom, winning a tickle match, or reading stories after helping the youngest of her get ready for bed. Because I'm the oldest, I know vivid memory over the last 6 months she had been battling little ovarian cancer. The topic of and you can tell in her voice glad that a lot has happened in her life over the last 6 months. I've grown to appreciate what they mean by fighting cancer.
I am so excited to introduce you to my sister,
I recognize God's mercy and love.
Daleen, thank you for being here today.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here.
I am here with a very special guest, the author of So Much From You. What Can Kids Do in the Summertime? My mom, Lorraine Aldridge. Mom, thank you for being here.
I am privileged to be here with my daughter, Christian.
Sure. First, I'm so curious to listen to our recording afterwards because people always tell me
and has always been a wonderful example for her siblings.
So I'm so curious if our voices will sound exactly the same like you're talking with yourself.
So my sisters and I have been having conversations when my friends about a episode, summer learning program that you implemented called Summer Requirements. How did you start Summer Requirements?
I have found that it is hard to do things by yourself. You need inspiration from your Heavenly Father to go along with what you are planning. And I felt like the Summer Requirements was just that. It was an inspiration that I got that I needed me after my school to family find my for way the summer. The I love summer. And that was
totally when the kids were out of school
and I had them close around me. We would work hard and play hard, but summer requirement was something that would help teach them basic skills that would be lasting forever for them. And I will ever be grateful that I was inspired to do that.
Well, it was pretty awesome to have.
What is one of your favorite memories of summer requirement?
You know everything.
Having
and so I had nothing
a
to
page
fear.
For each one of the kids. hanging on the closet door.
I am a mother of nine myself, really and we live in Illinois, and it's so crazy that my kids, when you ask them where they're from, they say the Illinois, because like your
they
listeners know, the rest of
they
grew
were
up in Arizona,
like
and
cleaning out
the majority
the
of us
in the bathroom,
are still in
or
the
cleaning out
West,
the
so
door
Illinois
in your
seems really like quite an outlier,
whatever
but there you have it.
We
fell in love with this little town in the Midwest and decided it was a great place to raise our kids, so we have
fun thing
love to hear.
Was
the right
we
size,
always had a
not
reward
too big,
at the
not too
end
small.
Of the summer.
I love
and
the humidity, actually.
Summer
that wavy hair is natural curl, and the humidity does my hair for me.
A
in some ways,
outing,
pretty low maintenance,
and
in other ways, pretty
and
complex.
They wouldn't know
so,
where we were taking
that's,
them
that's
or what
me,
we were going to do.
Nutshell.
It was very fun.
Let's get down to some of this
I still remember eating a hostess pie
in the shade of a pretty little goalie that was part of some intentionally landscaping outside of
nest
desert
of
Samaritan
hospital
in the middle of a
kind of
bike
messy,
ride
and
there that we were
tears.
On.
The day seems to be
so delicious. I felt like I was
and
in heaven sitting there in that shade with all of my siblings.
New
you and Dad pulled out those
as they start going
pies.
To school
I'm sure
and
I
they're teenagers and more social experiences and sporting
isn't it wonderful
and musical
that your children
activities.
Get so excited
it's
over
just
small things.
So much sometimes. Something that really helped me.
A friend of mine was surprised at how excited my own children, even adults now, get excited over sugar cereal.
I have a Christmas tradition of wrapping up a box of each of my children's favorite sugar cereal in newspaper and putting it under the Christmas tree every year. The kids all know that they're going to get their favorite cereal and get to eat it on Christmas Day, amongst other things. When this friend witnessed how excited my kids were, even when they're 18, 19 years old,
to open this box,
so there's a before this moment in time. And
there's an after this moment in time, and just keeping in perspective some of those things, they can feel very far off.
One of the reasons why my friend's children may not have been quite as excited about something simple like that is because they had it every single day. My children didn't have sugar cereal every single day, so that made it really special. I didn't have Hostess pies every single day growing up. I had homemade bread and homemade cookies almost every single day, but as Hostess pie was something special.
Experiences are so different.
I have often thought about how you and Dad coordinated things like the outings after the end of the summer of learning. There were a lot of other times when you guys had to
one of the gently and lovingly
consult with each other to plan, to remembering that I chose counsel together in love and righteousness.
How did you
and Dad do that when you had different opinions?
That we wanted to come and gain a body and be in a family and all those things.
There's certainly ways to compromise and to even do both things, but just at different times. We found that we would go on a weekly date to talk over things, plan things without the kids around, and be able to enjoy that time together.
It's so empowering for me when I remember that I chose it.
We really enjoyed that. Tony's parents, during a major part of the kids growing up, lived in Strawberry.
And I believe that Satan uses that one so much to
have God's children to Strawberry and have dinner with his parents and drive home. That was just
a lot of
good time to
talk in the car
and talk over things and work things out. Neither of us were yellers. It isn't that we didn't ever get upset, but we didn't verbalize in loud ways.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I
remember you and Dad needing to close the bedroom door a few times. We knew that you were working through something hard in there, and don't knock on the door. Mom and Dad are talking.
There are times when you just need to work it out. We didn't talk a lot about negatives in the middle of the room, and so they thought that everything was perfect all the time, and that's not the case. I don't know what the best answer is on that, whether to talk it out in front of the kids or to just keep it rather quiet. What do you think?
To be a pushover, to be his little puppet. Any of those things are also an option.
It seemed like it was appropriate for you to work things out behind closed doors.
I realized, you know what?
I suppose that you could have been a little bit more open that your marriage wasn't 150% rainbows and roses.
And I just think that's
because
so important
then maybe our expectations would have been more realistic in looking for a spouse ourselves. But when I've looked back on it, I
would choose it right this
opportunity
minute.
To see you guys make up. I saw you ask each other for forgiveness. I saw you come out of those doors smiling. And I saw you hugging and compromising and appreciating each other in your differences. So I didn't feel as entertain any of those other options as some other people. But I had the advantage of
if
being
we were
the oldest
to relate this
too.
To parenting,
I suppose we see what we want
to
see sometimes.
To love this teenager.
You know, we forget that the oldest goes through our whole life.
Right.
They see a lot
of things.
It's not. The thing that is somewhat interesting and almost a little bit sad is that the youngest ones missed out on an awful lot of experiences that the older kids got. However, you can't have 11 kids all at once.
Right.
That would be a little tough. So it's just you deal with the differences.
I don't
want to
be embarrassed
or grateful.
Yeah, there are differences, but don't forget that the youngest kids got to do some things that the older kids didn't get to do.
That's for sure. Like they got to go to China. And the older kids didn't.
That's right. And I'm free to absolutely walk away from that
choice
and make a different choice. And then I'm going to have a different set of circumstances.
You know,
we all are
going to have
disappointment.
What did you do when your kids were little? Is different than having a victim mentality. We all are victims, actually, because that's what this life is all about. It's about testing and trials. There are good and bad things in all of our lives. But when we dwell on that,
so many things. I think when we understand the doctrine
or complain or blame or feel self-pity or rebel because of what we perceive as our victimhood, then that's when we aren't taking responsibility for what we do have control over. And it does not lead to happiness. Taking responsibility is what brings us happiness.
Because when I choose Jesus, that means a covenant relationship with him. It keeps me grounded in
the
end goal.
We remain grateful for what we
have the end in mind all the time.
If you have parents that care for you and love you,
some really practical things for me are the temple temple worship
have your best
is constantly a reminder for me that this life is not all there is. I loved hearing
I've been in enough situations in the world where there's so much dysfunction out there. Some people say, oh, and they finish their session and they're on their way out and they'll say, all right, now back out to the real world. And I used to feel that same way. Gratitude is the opposite of a victim mentality. Right. I totally agree.
My brothers and sisters and I have built on the
I didn't have to worry about self-esteem. I didn't have to worry about a lot of TV. How did you work with the miracle and miracles in my efforts? Well, I remember it was very important for both their dad and I living in the city. From your experience, one thing that God taught me about eternity was that you can't go out and tell people you're going to do that, you go do that, you go do that. He is real. We worked with people himself. I was at the end of the year. I read the Book of Mormon.
And
I
think that was like
just a dunk our heads in there.
That was the October conference.
Or was it August?
Then go by the day.
There was a little
maybe in kindergarten.
We didn't have a milk cow.
And
they would separate the milk and they would separate the cow.
And I remember thinking, I want to be a pastor.
Well, we actually had a cow.
And I would show me the miracle.
Well, we actually had a cow.
And I would show me the miracle.
Let an advocate of that. I would have the kids help do things that I would help them with. I would give them a task.
But to really believe it changes work with my perspective.
Same thing.
It helps me help. Really believe that there is an eternity. Work.
We saw you like mowing you were the lawn. We saw you.
That is real
so
life.
We saw you.
I am a spiritual
cooking
being,
and cleaning. So when you asked us to
not
do
a mortal
it,
being,
we were doing
a
it with
experience.
You. You followed King Benjamin's advice very well by working beside
that I am
children.
A spiritual being.
Oh, thank you so much for joining
I love
Lorraine
the idea
and
that God
I
is in the detail of
conversations
our lives.
With
when
my
we
sisters,
believe that,
even though
we can
she's
trust
my mom,
him.
She is my
I know
sister,
how much
and we're
God
all
has
children
given
of God.
Me. He's
I love
given
you
my
mom.
Breath.
I love
He's given
you.
Me every opportunity.
When I was a seminary
I'm so
teacher,
to be a
I remember
mom.
Going
I've
to the temple and praying for my seminary students.
If you liked
and
this
sitting there
conversation,
in this
share it with your friends
just
and your
thinking
family.
The
we
question
want everyone to know
with
the
spirit of intent.
And
immediately,
is a gift
the words
from God.
Came to my mind. Tell
Heavenly
them
Father
that
loves you.
I love
so
them. I really think that that's what Heavenly Father would want all parents to know too, is that I am real. I love you.
When we consider that he loves us, reminds me of a conversation you and I had at the kitchen table in your house in Utah. This would have been a few years ago. We were talking about interacting with our husbands, and something that made a difference for me was choosing to believe him when he said, I love you. So now again, I'm talking about my husband. I don't know if you remember this conversation we had, but you said, oh my goodness, wait, say that again. We stopped and kind of and hashed that out for a minute, why that would be significant and what it means to not believe. And I think that's important. So if we consider all the times when our husband says something that annoys us and we fixate on that and decide he's a terrible person, we are in a sense saying we don't believe him when he says he loves me because right. I think this or that, you know, he's annoying. He did this on purpose. He's neglecting this on purpose because he doesn't actually love me. I don't actually believe him, even though he has said he loves me. So
that deflection is so powerful. It can ruin the feeling between two people.
Exactly. So when God is trying and his love is pouring down on us, but we refuse to believe it, we can do that. We can shut it out. We can shut him out. And we can insist that the story we have going on in our head instead is really what we're going to believe. And so I think that is so critical what you said.
Yes. Like, I'm not worthy of his love. Or if he loved me, then he wouldn't have put me in this situation. Or if he loved me, life would be easier.
A loving God wouldn't give me that commandment. Or a loving God wouldn't care if I did that thing. Yeah, there's so many ways where we are actually calling God a liar, you know, and resisting his love by alternative attitudes or beliefs that we instead choose to hang on to. So I do think that is so powerful and can really shift the way that we interact with him and really just let his love flow into us. And so that's huge.
I know that Heavenly Father is anxious for us to feel his love. It's interesting to consider that we have the responsibility of letting that love fill us and support us in our parenting, in our careers, in our ups and downs of life. I invite you to consider how you can let God's love into your life and into your parenting and your home more this week. If something in this podcast helped you, please share it with a friend or a family member. We're grateful for modern technology. Let's use it to build up families all around the world. The next episode, Delene and I continue to talk about the concept of eternity and how the big picture can continue to bless us in our parenting. Heavenly Father loves you, and so do we.